This podcast is brought to you by NetBank. Whether you're thinking of franchising your business, buying into or revamping your franchise, stay tuned for tips on how to grow your brand and portfolio.
Welcome to the NetBank Franchising Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Xuan. Today in the studio, we have Jerome Curry. Jerome is from Aditio 24. Jerome, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks for having me.
Jerome, first question, what does the name mean? Because I tried to Google it and nothing came up. Please explain to us.
Well, you're not going to find anything because it means absolutely nothing. My partner who started the business, Charlie Liasidis, opened his first store under the name of Andiamo. And there was an objection from another restaurant down in the Western Cape. And at that time, budgets were very tight and decided to make the cheapest change. So he kept the first few letters and changed the end.
Wow. But before we get into that, I just want to, let's just go back a little bit. Tell us about, like, when you grew up. Did you grow up in a family of entrepreneurs?
My late father was a businessman.
Okay.
He was
what kind
came
of
from very came from very humble beginnings, but he's always been a trader. So he's had many businesses. He had service stations, a garage in Mayfair, went into bookmaking.
Bookmaking?
Horse racing business.
Ah, okay.
And thereafter, it developed shopping centers. We built the first shopping center in Midrand.
I remember that listening to an interview a while ago, Charlie, he had a pizza place that was next to a nightclub, which is no longer exists. I've been to the nightclub myself, and that's how I found out about this place. And he came up with this idea, and he said that night they sold about a few hundred pizzas, and the idea just came about. But you joined the company. The company started in 2008. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And you joined them in 2011. So just walk us through, how did that happen?
So Charlie did have an Italian restaurant and a fish restaurant out in North Riding. Restaurants both did very well, with a nightclub, as you correctly say. He was battling to close the restaurant, the Italian restaurant, at 10, 11 o'clock at night. There were stragglers that kept walking in. So he decided, in order to get a bit of a decent life, that he would close the restaurant. He portioned off about 6 or 7 square meters of the Italian restaurant, installed a pizza oven, put in one of his best staff members in there, and any straggler that came in after 10 or half past 10 directed them to that little pizza shop, if you want to call it that. And he realized that there was a demand for late night casual dining, and that's how it started. So it was more by default than design.
Okay, so you joined him in 2011. What was your big drive of joining this company? Because I believe you worked in, or still in, financing for over 3 decades. So how did that come about, the partnership?
My main business, core business, is a company called Acacia Finance. We've been around for close to 40 years. Financed mainly to SMEs, retailers, supermarkets, and many restaurants. So we've franchised both independent and franchise restaurants, as I say, for 37 years, I think it is. When you're financing any entity, you need to have an integral knowledge of that business. You need to understand it. So I've come to understand the food industry, hospitality, through financing them. And Charlie was introduced to me by his uncle, and he came to me for a bit of advice on franchising. At the time, he had 3 stores. And he thought the time was right to go the franchise route. With me having the knowledge, he approached me, and when I saw his model, and I wasn't aware of it at the time, I was so impressed that I hounded him until he sold me 50% of the business.
Okay. What were you impressed about the business after? Because 3 stores is not a lot to start franchising.
I think there's quite a few things that impressed me. Firstly, the systems and controls. Being a 24-hour model, you need to have very strong systems and controls, because the owner is not physically able to be in the store for 24 hours of the day. So from an accounting point of view, that impressed me very much. And then the most important thing for me was the actual product. I think that he had developed a product, the recipes, that were unique in the market. I was very mindful at the time that the pizza offering in South Africa was saturated. There was a very big oversupply, and in fact, still the same today. So to enter the market and to grow a fledgling business, you would have to be something different, unique. So the USPs that attracted me were definitely the product, the quality of the product, the ability to create your own pizza, so you could put whatever you want on the pizza.
So was that the idea right in the beginning to create your own pizza?
It always was.
From the first store?
From the very first store.
Why? What was the reason behind it? Because that is so different.
It is different, and again, we're very in tune with our customers. So when Charlie had his little 6-meter store out in North Riding, customers were coming to him late at night and asking for weird and wonderful pizzas.
What's the strangest one you've heard?
Oh, very, very crazy ones. Smarties with Parma ham, avocado. Crazy, crazy.
Jeez,
In fact, we've had a few customers that have ordered every single topping available on our menu.
And how many are there? How many toppings are available?
I think from memory, it must be close to 100.
100 toppings on a pizza. Please tell me there's a photo.
We do have photos.
Oh, please share it. I would love to see it. I would love to know what it tastes
and
like.
And I can tell you it was a dare, and it's happened a few times. So
oh, wow.
I don't know. I can't guarantee what it tasted like. I'm not going to vouch for that.
So was business part of daily dinner conversation, or was it like forbidden?
Yes. No, it definitely was. So I owe my knowledge, my entrepreneurial spirit to my dad. He instilled that into me.
Okay, so a big part of business at the end of the day, besides finding your passion and your why, is to generate profit and to hire people. So speaking about money, what was your first memory of money as a child? Or how old were you when you earned your first rand, pocket money, or creating something?
I was still at school, and my dad bought one of the businesses that he owned was the itinerant amusement parks. I don't know if you recall the amusement park that went to the Rand Show,
yes.
Durban Beachfront,
okay.
The Cape Show. So I traveled around the country. And whilst I was at school in, I think it was grade 7.
That's primary school.
That's primary school. We used to go to the show and work.
I don't think you can do that these days. There's the label. What were you doing at that age? Were you selling tickets?
I wouldn't change anything. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't about the money.
Uh-huh.
But it gave me an insight into how businesses operate.
Okay. So do you remember with your first paycheck, what did you do with it?
My first real paycheck was when I had completed my army training.
Okay.
I entered into my father's business, which was a retail shopping center in Midrand, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid my rent.
You paid your rent. Okay, wise man. I was expecting I spend it on this or girlfriend or wife or whatever, but spend it on rent. Very sensible man.
Well, I came out of the army and I got married, I think, a week later.
Oh, wow.
So I had responsibilities.
Okay. And then as a busy as owner and franchisor, take us to your daily routine. What time do you get up, and what's the first thing you do when you get up?
Being a 24-hour business, there are some evenings where I sleep maybe two to three hours.
Wow. Even now. Even the business established.
Why? We are very hands-on. I am also running another business, so I try and split my time between both businesses, but I enjoy what I'm doing. It's not very taxing, but enjoyable, a lot of fun.
So no 2 days are ever the same. You don't really have a routine then?
We do have routine. So I'm obviously based at the head office,
and
I see to most of the administration functions of the business, dealing with franchisees, lease agreements, landlords. So, it's very, very diverse and very different every day. Yesterday was very unique, obviously, with what's happening in South Africa
and
in the world.
So do you find time to read? Do you enjoy reading?
I do read a little bit, not much, but casual reading. Very difficult for me to get a book
finish it without any interruptions.
Yes.
Okay, and then do you find time to exercise? Do you find time to quiet your mind? What do you do when you have a bad day?
I walk a lot with my wife, so we walk around our area, find that very relaxing. And I spend a lot of time with my family. Family for me is the core of my life. I have four children. and blessed with four grandchildren and one on the way. So we try and spend as much time as we can as a family.
So Jerome, I believe you have two boys, two girls, and not all of them are involved. So tell us who's involved and who's not involved in the business.
My eldest daughter assists me in the office, in the head office. My eldest son is finalizing his studies to become a plastic surgeon. And I'm very fortunate to have my younger son, Daniel, as the chief financial officer. He's a chartered accountant, and he's added a tremendous amount of value to the business.
So the two children are in the business. Did you try to rope them in, or how did that happen?
Definitely not. it happened naturally. I think that we work well together. I think there's strict boundaries. The fact that I'm not the sole owner of the business sets those boundaries. There's my partner involved, so they came into the business with full knowledge that they need to add value.
Okay. So do you have a lunch with your children at work? You create your own pizza and you guys talk about strategy, or is that not a...
No, I don't. There's no formal lunch. It's very casual, and we eat when we get a chance to eat. Uh-huh. Spend time with my family at home, and that's when we spend good quality time together and on the weekends.
Okay. And then when it comes to you and Charlie, do you guys have, let's say, Monday meetings? Every Monday you have set meetings. Let's say you look at targets or you look at strategy. How does it work?
We have regular meetings. So we group together, not on set days when necessary, but it's more than likely at least 3 or 4 times a week. We meet together with our chief financial officer to strategize. But then we have meetings with all our team members, marketing, HR, all our area managers, senior managers. And those meetings are regular weekly meetings.
Okay.
And where necessary, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week.
You mentioned the word finance a few times. So for you as a business owner, what is the most important financial figures and why?
The most important financial figure for me is your return on your investment.
Okay.
So in today's hospitality restaurant industry, I find that many new entrepreneurs are coming into the business and overcapitalizing.
What does that mean, overcapitalizing?
They're spending too much on the setup of the store.
Okay.
So, and that's one key area.
Like the decor and the...
The shop fitting.
Okay.
To get the store up and running. Mm. And that's also one of the key areas that attracted me to the model. It's very simple and very cost effective to open up the store. Our stores average out complete turnkey operation at approximately 1.5 million rand per store. That's inclusive of VAT. And obviously, the lower your setup costs, the greater the opportunity to get a return on your investment. But there are a whole lot of other financial factors that play a role. A key one definitely is the rental that you pay. Over the past 5 to 10 years, rentals have escalated.
And the electricity costs, obviously.
Utility costs have increased exponentially.
So how long are the normal lease you sign with the landlord?
We sign a 5-year lease with a 5-year option.
Okay.
So that's the general rule.
So during this 5 years, like you just said, the rental goes up. Are you allowed to negotiate? Because this is a very common thing. You sign a 5-year lease. Does that mean that this is it? You can't negotiate the rental?
If you asked me this question 3 years ago,
yes,
not possible. A landlord would have laughed at you. In the current economic climate, landlords are a lot more receptive to negotiation. And if they want retailers to stay in business, they need to be open to that negotiation.
That's good to know. So your normal stores are anything from 33 to 100 square meters. Is that correct?
33 square meters is our smallest store, and our largest is approximately 140 square meters. It's our store in Norwood.
Okay. Why that store the biggest? Why exactly?
That's what the landlord had available and wasn't prepared to cut the shop up, so we took it. And it was the right decision because it's one of our better performing stores.
Okay. And I believe you're opening a store in Cape Town.
We've opened in Cape Town. We opened in September of 2019 in Greenpoint. Okay. And right now that store is our best performing store in the group.
Out of all of them?
Out of all of them.
Why do you think it's so?
I think it's also the honeymoon phase, as we call it. The only Andicho 24 store in Cape Town. It's also high season in Cape Town, which is great. And I think, as I said earlier, we have a unique product. We have unique USPs that set us aside from everyone else. The USPs being the 24 hours, which is very different to everyone else. The delivery model that we implemented long before third-party delivery partners came onto the market. And as we spoke about earlier, the ability to create your own pizza.
Mm. Okay, so there's two questions I want to ask about that, because I was thinking about this yesterday. How do you control stock? Because some stores might have more requests for Smarties or something like that. Or some stores might request more salami. I mean, take us through the systems and process. How do you know? I mean, because these things need to be fresh and you open for 24 hours. How does the logistic work?
Very interesting question. And again, this is one of the aspects of the business that appealed to me. We don't have any kitchens in any of our stores. The back area of the store is purely a storage area and a scullery area. We have a central kitchen and distribution center in every geographic area that we open up our stores, and that central kitchen prepares all the product that is distributed to all the stores daily. So every one of our stores receives fresh stock 7 days of the week. The stock that they receive is portioned into individual plastic containers. So if you're ordering olives or mushrooms, they're in a separate container. There's consistency of quality and quantity. There's a lower risk of cross-contamination, and it works very well.
No, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so right now there's Gauteng, there is Cape Town. But if there's people in other provinces that we want the company there, what would you say?
Well, we're going to be there in the near future. We're looking to have a national footprint. We've got plans in KZN. And other provinces as well, but our focus after establishing the Western Cape would be KZN and then the Eastern Cape, Free State, and as I said, all the provinces in South Africa. And we are busy at present opening our first international store in Dubai. Very excited about it, very challenging at the moment with what's happening in the world with the virus. But we hope to open in about 2 to 3 months' time in Dubai.
Great. Jerome Curry, the man with big plans and big ideas. Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Charles. Good to be here.
This podcast was brought to you by NetBank. Stay tuned for more on franchising or search NetBank Franchising for valuable information. See money differently. NetBank.